Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Feisty, fearless, and fair. She's an Emmy-winning journalist from the White House to war zones, telling all sides of the story. This is The Rita Cosby Show.
I know your name is Rita, 'cause your perfume is smelling sweet. Since when I saw you down on the floor.
This hour, negotiations continue because the president of Columbia University in New York has no guts. And that is between the protesters who have set up this massive encampment. And a lot of these tents all look alike. There's very similar ones, similar styles. They have similar signage. Why isn't Congress, and especially Department of Justice, going after whoever is funding these protests and creating division in this country? Because it is downright dangerous. And it's not just happening here. It's happening all over the country. And in the midst of this, what is DA Alvin Bragg doing? Well, the Manhattan District Attorney is focused on Trump, Trump, Trump. Don't worry about the protests. Don't worry about them saying we love Hamas. Let's just focus on Trump, Trump, Trump. And so tomorrow, it will be the continuation of the trial in Manhattan. This is the criminal case, the so-called hush money case. By the way, I saw a banner tonight on CNN that said legal scholar says he can't believe this is the case so far against Trump, meaning where's the there? That's from CNN. Maybe they're having an epiphany. Maybe there's been a wake-up call, guys. And also, in the middle of all this tomorrow, also, there will be Supreme Court arguments on the so-called Trump immunity case, because they will decide tomorrow, or at least hear arguments. They may not decide right away. It'll probably be a few days till they decide. But who knows? They probably will decide fairly quickly because they know a lot at stake as to whether Trump has immunity, presidential immunity, because President Trump says, hey, listen, I acted in a lot of these issues, questioning the election and other things, because I feel like as president, I oversee elections and want to make sure that elections have integrity and are done correctly. So that's going to be his side of the argument. The other side is going to be saying, well, not in this particular case, that in this case, you were acting as citizen Trump, not President Trump. But it's an interesting case. And a lot of people think that the Supreme Court may rule maybe in President Trump's favor, or may sort of split the hairs and say, well, this part is official, this isn't. But it could have widespread repercussions as to also the classified documents case. And of course, the January 6th case in Washington, D.C. in a big, big way. So we're going to keep you posted on that. And I'm sure talk a lot about that tomorrow night, because all eyes will be on the Supreme Court and also the New York courtroom as things continue. Meantime, the protests continue. And even though some people say, oh, they're mostly peaceful protests, not quite. Listen to this. This is at University of Southern California. This is in Los Angeles today, because again, these protests are happening all over the country now because they're getting emboldened because no one scolded them early enough. No one taught them a lesson early enough. And now these protests are like wildfire and they're spreading all over the place. And listen to this. You can hear sort of the protests and then you hear the cop whistle because they're finally intervening and the protesters didn't like it. Take a listen to this from Los Angeles.
Hold the line! Hold the line! Hold the line! Hold the line! Don't touch us! Don't touch us! Don't touch us! Don't make a line! Don't touch us! Don't touch us! Don't touch us! Don't touch us!
Oh,
That's an American college campus today, where students of all faiths, colors, and creed should be able to go to school and not be harassed. And listen to this Columbia professor. This is Shai Davidi. And he says when he went to one of these pro-Palestinian protests to talk to the protesters, just to say his piece and to listen to them and try to like logic to them. Well, guess what happened? Suddenly, his card as a faculty member of Columbia got deactivated. And here he is speaking out because he says that the president of Columbia, well, guess what? She is listening to two particular individuals, and I think we know who they are.
There's only one people that are losing, and it's the Jewish people, the Jewish students. I spent last night speaking with Jewish students. They are scared. They are fleeing campus. They're not leaving campus. They're fleeing campus. I have been speaking about the support for Hamas for 6 months. The president has never replied to my email. The trustees have never reached out. It's the University of Columbia has two presidents right now, and it's Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, because this is not about Israel. This is about America. And the university just decided that they don't care about Jewish safety. They don't care about the Jewish students. They are negotiating with suspended organizations that are they want to burn everything down. And I'm despondent this morning.
Wow. Can you imagine? That is a longtime professor, not a student, a longtime professor that is there on campus and now has had his card deactivated because he spoke out. Boy, do I think he has a lawsuit against Columbia. And in the middle, what is our commander in chief doing? Well, today he was heralding this $100 billion essentially aid package. He spent most of the time talking about Ukraine, and then he finally got to Israel. And listen to what he said. Yeah, he did say he supports Israel, but then 2 seconds later, he scolds Israel. Listen to this. When he makes the big announcement, he briefly talks about Israel because he had already talked about Ukraine for about 5-10 minutes. And I guess I got to say something about Israel, but now let's scold them. Take a listen.
This bill also includes vital support for Israel. Just 10 days ago, we saw Iran launch over 100 missiles and drones at Israel. And because of them and other allies across the country, world, including from the region, no serious damage occurred. An unprecedented attack that followed years of Iran supporting Hezbollah, Hamas, and proxies of their own attack on Israel. They fund these guys. My commitment to Israel, I want to make clear again, is ironclad. The security of Israel is critical. It will always make sure that Israel has what it needs to defend itself against Iran and terrorists it supports. And with this aid, the United States is going to help replenish Israel's air defense and provide other critical events so Iran can never carry out the destruction it intended with its attack 10 days ago. But at the same time, this bill significantly increases humanitarian assistance we're sending to the innocent people of Gaza who are suffering badly. They're suffering the consequences of this war that Hamas started. And we've been working intently for months to get as much aid to Gaza as possible. This bill includes $1 billion for additional humanitarian aid in Gaza. We're going to immediately secure that aid and surge it, including food, medical supplies, clean water. And Israel must make sure all this aid reaches the Palestinians in Gaza without delay.
So you better make sure that we can get aid to them, because I put both of these on the same level and I'm not showing clear support for our greatest ally in the Middle East. And what would a Biden speech be without him somehow turning and twisting? And then he blames the Republicans because there's no border bill in the package. And we all know why the border bill isn't in the package, is because this president doesn't even want to do a basic thing on the border, like an executive action that would change everything at the border. So here's his little swipe at the end of it. I couldn't believe he actually said this. One thing missing is the border bill, as if he's the guy who is going to be protecting the border. Take a listen to this one.
But there's one thing this bill does not do: border security. You know, just this year, I proposed and negotiated and agreed to the strongest border security bill this country has ever seen. It was bipartisan. It should have been included in this bill. And I'm determined to get it done for the American people. But I'll come back to that in another moment, another time.
Yeah, please do, because that's a lie, because H.R. 2, which is what went through the House and was actually passed in the House under Kevin McCarthy, was the strongest border bill. And really what's needed right now, and you didn't want it. You won't even do a basic executive action to put in place even the fundamentals of what President Trump was doing. So that is an outright lie, but you can just see where this is headed. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Stephen in Brooklyn. Stephen, your thoughts about all these protests and Biden waffling all over the place.
So much to think, and of course, a great discussion, Rita. First of all, there should absolutely be a class action lawsuit nationwide by Jewish students. This is not free speech. This is violent intimidation, as proof by the police just attacked with a chair. A Jewish student was poked in the eye. There's so many examples shut out, and this would not be going on. So there should be a class action lawsuit, and they need to sue the endowments of the institutions like Columbia, Harvard, these colleges in Austin, Texas, and the West. They need to sue the hell out of them. That's the only thing that they're going to understand. These are civil rights violations. If this was happening to any other group, there would be hell to pay. As for people trying to say that the Republicans are making it political, no, they're bringing transparency. Where are people like Joe Biden? Because Joe Biden is only thinking, calculating, oh, this could cost me this many votes in Dearborn, Michigan. That could talk. Robert F. Kennedy is already on the ballot in Michigan. It's over for Joe Biden in Michigan, and I do not think he will be there. This is just cowardice. The right thing is to stand up. And where is Barack Obama, who is a Columbia alumni? You know, he said nothing. And for people, look, Eric Adams on the plane, no one should be harassed on the plane. Absolutely no one should be harassed. But I'll tell you who would have spoken up when he was mayor, and that was the late, great Ed Koch, who used to be a personality on WABC. He would have gave that person a piece of the mind. So, and we got to remember, this is not only that, Rita, and here's an important thing. This is going to economically impact cities like New York devastatingly with tourists. If you're a tourist from around the world, you could be Europe, Asia, South America, you're going to say, forget about it. Why would I want to visit with my dollars to a place like New York where you have violent mobs going around intimidating people? Just look at Campbell Brown, the great former CNN journalist. I used to watch CNN years ago, not anymore, but she used to be a really person of integrity. She just announced recently she's left with her family to Israel because she believes it's safer there than on the Upper West Side of Manhattan.
By the way, I didn't know that, and I know Campbell because, well, you're right. Campbell was at CNN. She was, I think, at NBC before that, and I love Campbell. Campbell's great. When did Campbell announce that? That's interesting, Steve.
Yes, it was announced days ago. You could Google it.
I'll take a look. No, that's interesting. But what a sad testament that is.
If someone like Campbell can announce this, how many other shoes to drop other people going to leave? This is a crisis already. And for your other callers, and again, you have callers. I'm not going to be like some callers that attack someone else by name. That's not going to do it. And people have a right to their opinion. But I strongly disagree. Whatever people think about Mike Johnson, he has a right to bring this to the attention. Where are the Democratic delegations? Where are Congressman Richie Torres on the campus, who has been speaking for? Why is it he said, where are the other Democrats? Because they can't even do anything. But you know where Biden is? He's playing footsie with AOC, who has said, oh, they're so peaceful, the demonstration's over.
Even I know. By the way, Steve, to add sort of another layer to this, is that Biden is coming tomorrow. I think I saw it's a campaign fundraiser in Westchester, and then he's going up to Syracuse, New York, and I think he is landing in the city. So my point is, he's coming to New York City. There's no indication he's going to stop at any of these college campuses and call for peace and calm and say you'll be arrested. There's no indication he's even going to stop in or even reference them. I mean, you know what's really sad, Steve? It reminds me of the whole thing with Jonathan Diller. Remember, sadly, when the officer was killed, there was Joe Biden. He had a big fundraiser at Radio City. I don't begrudge him for doing it. They're both campaigning, even though Trump is being forced to be in court every day, thanks to Biden and his other team. But that's a whole other story. But Joe Biden does the fundraiser and doesn't even call the Diller family or see the Diller family or go to the wake. I mean, he's right in the neighborhood and he doesn't take the time to do it. And it looks like tomorrow is going to be the same thing, because this is the time where you need the president to clamp down and call for calm. And this president, to your point, is MIA. And so have the other Democrats. To their credit, though, I will say Richie Torres and the mayor and the governor have at least been clear on their position about supporting Jewish students. I wish, again, they would be a little more forceful. But at least they're speaking out, which is a lot more than this president. 1-800-848-9222.
You're listening to The Rita Cosby Show. This is The Rita Cosby Show.
Huey Lewis. He is so awesome. And by the way, this is just coming out. This is interesting that Dr. Anthony Fauci, of course, the COVID king, with all the questions, remember that he said, oh, no, we didn't know anything about the Wuhan lab, or what are you talking about with all of these different groups and the NIH funding and all these things? Well, now, it looks like he is going to be forced to testify before Congress for the first time since he retired. So this could be very interesting. I wish it was in the Senate, because that could be Senate Rand Paul doing the questioning, because that's always a doozy. But it looks like he's going to testify before the House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic. That will be June 3rd, and that will be one for the record books. Let's go to Sandra. Sandra, line two. Your thoughts, Sandra.
Oh, good evening, Rita. I heard everything said tonight, and what I want to say is, unlike Biden and Franklin D. Roosevelt, I'm happy that Mike Johnson spoke up, and I commend him for that, because I think it is a scary thing with all the pressure that he's under with all the people that he has to work with. So I also agree with Alan Dershowitz. We have to resist new beginnings. This is like a cancer.
Yeah, no, that's a great way to describe it, because if you don't nip it in the butt now, it will spread all over the place.
Rita Cosby is on.
America certainly has impacts thousands upon thousands of miles away. And that is clear because just a few hours ago, the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, took to YouTube and said he is watching what's happening on these college campuses, and he is deeply, deeply concerned that he is hoping history doesn't repeat itself. Listen to what the Prime Minister of Israel had to say, and these words are chilling.
What's happening on America's college campuses is horrific. Anti-Semitic mobs have taken over leading universities. They call for the annihilation of Israel. They attack Jewish students. They attack Jewish faculty. This is reminiscent of what happened in German universities in the 1930s. It's unconscionable. It has to be stopped. It has to be condemned, and condemned unequivocally. But that's not what happened. The response of several university presidents was shameful. Now, fortunately, state, local, federal officials, many of them have responded differently, but there has to be more. More has to be done. It has to be done not only because they attack Israel. That's bad enough. Not only because they want to kill Jews wherever they are. That's bad enough. It's also, when you listen to them, it's also because they say not only death to Israel, death to the Jews, but death to America. And this tells us that there is an anti-Semitic surge here that has terrible consequences. We see this exponential rise of anti-Semitism throughout America and throughout Western societies as Israel tries to defend itself against genocidal terrorists. Genocidal terrorists who hide behind civilians. Yet it is Israel that is falsely accused of genocide. Israel that is falsely accused of starvation and all sundry war crimes. It's all one big libel. But that's not new. We've seen in history that anti-Semitic attacks were always preceded by vilification and slander. Lies that were cast against the Jewish people that are unbelievable, yet people believed them. And what is important now is for all of us who are interested and cherish our values and our civilization, to stand up together and to say enough is enough. We have to stop anti-Semitism because anti-Semitism is the canary in the coal mine. It always precedes larger conflagrations that engulf the entire world. So I ask all of you, Jews and non-Jews alike, who are concerned with our common future and our common values, to do one thing. Stand up, speak up, be counted. Stop anti-Semitism now.
Absolutely. Stop it now. By the way, where is Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg on going after? He said he was going to go after hate crimes. I would consider what some of these people are saying. They're hate crimes. It is hate speech. Where's also the, I think, lawsuits, civil rights violations? There's a lot of huge civil rights violations for Jewish students going on. And even though Russ, who called in earlier, didn't think it was a nice idea that those on Wall Street say, maybe we don't want to hire these people. We want a list of these, some of these people who are protesting, and we want to make sure we don't hire them in their companies. That's absolutely correct. They have every right to do it. And I think first and foremost, these people should be put on a list saying, do not hire. Are you kidding? Why would you want somebody who's shouting death to Hamas, death to Israel? And in the middle of all this, what is our president doing? This is an amazing moment. No wonder these campuses are rudderless. They're not getting any cues whatsoever from the president of the United States, because today, I can't believe he did this. Here he is. He's addressing, it's the North America Building Trades Union Conference in Washington, D.C. So he didn't have to go too far. All right. There he is. And suddenly he starts. This is the guy who says that he's the unifier in chief. And he starts about punching his nemesis, meaning Donald Trump. And then he goes, oh, I didn't mean that. Listen to this. This is a bizarre remark. As the world's on fire, as college campuses are dealing with total chaos, and this is what our commander-in-chief is talking about.
Think about the guys you grew up with, you like to get into the corner and just give them a straight left. I'm not suggesting we hit the president. But we all know those guys growing up.
Yeah, that really sounds like a real unifier and a very mature individual for the Oval Office. And then he talked about the president's hair. Listen to this one.
By the way, remember when he was trying to deal with COVID, he said, just inject a little bleach in your veins. He missed it. All went to his hair.
Oh, yeah. This is the guy who says he is not going to besmirch anybody, not going to be mean. That's above board. That just shows how low they will go. And again, as President Trump is tomorrow going to be in court, that's total election interference. John Catsimatidis and I, of course, host Cats and Cosby 5 o'clock on WABC. It's the number one show, by the way, at 5 o'clock. And so John and I were sitting there talking, and John brought up a great point. He calls it hate crime. It's a hate crime that Judge Marchand has against President Trump. You can make the case it's a hate crime of what President Biden is doing to President Trump in the middle of all this, too. Making sure somehow he's a little busy off the campaign trail so President Biden can do these little bizarre jabs at the former commander-in-chief and his main rival right now. And then here is one for the record books, because, you know, when you're reading a script or reading on a prompter, it says, here's a punchline, right? And then it says pause, because clearly they have to direct him on everything. They have to direct him to say, hi, my name is Joe Biden. Hi, this is my wife, Jill. Look to the right. Pause while they clap. Here you go. Stand up. Say, I love America, or I don't care what's going on the college campuses, whatever it is, pause, right? You know, it's a cue that there's in the script there, right? So you can't make this up. So then after all this, after he says he's going to punch the president, then he says that the president has bleached hair. Well, then he uses the opportunity to read the script, and you can't make this up. He says something about 4 more years, expecting that the crowd's going to clearly applaud. And then in the script, it obviously says pause, and he reads the word pause. This just shows he is not mentally fit to be president. He's not leading the country, and he can't even lead reading through a script. Listen to this one.
4 more years. Pause.
4 more years. 4 more years. 4 more years.
I got to play that again, because obviously the script says 4 more years and then pause. Listen to this again. He's like telling the crowd, 4 more years, pause, turn to the right, pause, turn to the right, stand up, pause. But listen to this. This is like, it's like, it just shows he doesn't know what he's reading. He is just literally reading the words on the page.
4 more years, pause.
4 more years, pause. 4 more years, 4 more years.
No wonder the world is on fire right now. We have a commander in chief who doesn't know clearly that that's the cue for him. It clearly shows that they have to write everything for him, too, because otherwise he wouldn't pause. He didn't pause. He just read the word pause. I mean, this is like, you can't make this up. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Dave there in Pennsylvania. Dave, thank you. You've been waiting a while. Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, thanks for you. Yeah, I mean, you know, with Biden, why there's crickets, and especially from Obama, why there's crickets, is because it's, you know, and the reason for Biden's policy, Obama is the supreme Democratic puppet master along with his disciples. And this is consistent with the way he always treated and respected Israel. It's also consistent how he managed the Middle East violence and actions that were going on there. He traded the optics that he was trying to put down ISIS. He bombed and killed probably a lot of innocent people, but he never did anything. It was just to make it look like he was doing something. And then Trump comes in there, and in 6 months he neutralizes ISIS in like 95% within like 6 months. So it's, you know, and he'll get cover from the media. The media isn't going to call out Obama because they're, you know, he's their messiah. And so that's, you know, that was one part. But, you know,
Dave, before you move on, you know, the other thing he hasn't done, he hasn't even sanctioned Iranian oil. I mean, that's basic. Right. I mean, that's shocking. Also, Russian oil, by the way, too. I mean, it's like we're paying for it on both ends. You know, that we're sending money in. We're allowing them to be lucrative because we're cutting our own oil supply in this country. And then we're funding, you know, sending money over to Ukraine, sending money over to Israel. And yet we're not cutting off their money supply. I'm talking about Iran and Russia on the other end. I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean, why would you not do that? That's like a warfare 101. I mean, you're going to supply weapons, but you don't have the guts to shut off and sanction Iranian oil? That's shocking.
Well, you know, it really, you're right. It's totally absurd. We're funding two sides of the war. And, but that, again, that's consistent. The funding is given to Israel just to make it look politically, it's all for politics. so he doesn't, you know, it's pandering into some people in America. Well, obviously, many believe that's appropriate.
Yeah. And by the way, you're right. And I think there are people, like you said, who think it is good to be playing both sides. But they're not happy either with this president, because like you look at even on the campuses. I mean, a lot of them are saying we want a full divesting of anything tied to Israel. That's not going to happen. I mean, how dare they make those accusations? But they feel emboldened because they've gotten away with it. Let's go to JC in Pennsylvania. JC, we're going. It's a Pennsylvania night. Go ahead, JC.
The reality is Biden's out there and he's got about 15 to 25 people behind them. Okay. And if Trump was there, there'd be thousands of people. So that's the reality of that situation. Doesn't matter what he says.
Well, by the way, what did you make of the pause, JC? I mean, that's just incredible that he didn't even realize it. It wasn't like he said, oh, sorry. Like he just was like, he clearly is like, it's like a puppet reading.
Yeah, it's like, he's like the stepford president, you know, like a stepford wife. Just, he's a zombie. He's a robot.
Yeah, that's true.
I know where Obama is. Obama is still in the closet. But however, okay, I bravo to the speaker and the congressman, okay, for standing up and going to Colombia and speaking out. Where were the federal agents? Okay, those are civil rights violations. Those are hate crimes. There should be federal agents there pulling out the infiltrators and getting them out there. You know, it's just, and by the way, that guy Rush, this guy, I'm sorry, that guy's an idiot. People just don't have any common sense. What does it matter who he says he hates or they want to kill? If anybody has said, I hate somebody, doesn't matter if it's Hamas, Israel, if he's black, white, yellow, Polish, Czechoslovakian, why would you hire anybody that says that?
Although, JC, since I'm Polish, you should always hire great Polish people. You know that, regardless, right?
Love Polish people. Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. But however, okay, one other subject. You brought it up. Okay, Rand Paul, you're right. Fauci should be going down. You should invite Dr. David Martin. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but you should invite him to the show. Okay, he has the whole dirt and whole backstory of Fauci and the virus. Okay, they actually patent these viruses.
Yeah, okay? By the way, and a lot of those details have come out. I'm going to check that out, David Martin. I'm going to check that out because I have heard the name. And boy, it sounds like Fauci's going to be on the hot seat. And you're right. A lot of details have come out about them really being even more involved and Fauci being aware of it. Remember that they were using like another email address, somebody tied to Fauci. I think it was like Fauci's assistant. So it's getting really, really thick. And I still find it hard to believe. You know, he was clearly trying to say, oh, no, it's not the Wuhan lab. And it turns out he was well aware that there was this sort of research being done at the Wuhan lab right down the street from the wet market there in Wuhan. So, boy, I hope let's see if we get some more answers out of him this time now that he is a private citizen. He can't say, oh, I can't answer that one. And now, everybody, our Support Our Heroes segment.
The Rita Cosby Show presents Support Our Heroes.
And this is the Tunnel to Towers Foundation Support Our Heroes segment with a powerful story. This one coming from Germany, where an American veteran, Kenneth Angst, who is an Army first sergeant retired, made a vow after narrowly surviving an early morning attack on an airfield in January 1968. The veteran was the first American to receive the 7th Army Training Command's Good Neighbor Award for service to the U.S. Army and also the local community. Going back, a platoon of North Vietnamese infiltrated his base back in 1968, killing 6 of Angst's men, wounding more than a dozen and destroying 16 aircraft, he recalled as he was talking to the U.S. Army garrison there in Germany last week. The helicopter mechanic, who is now 87 years old, was struck in the back of the head with shrapnel from an enemy grenade and was later asked to identify the bodies of his young troops. He said, I made a promise to myself that if I was going to make it out alive, I was going to make my life a positive life. If I made it out of there and I got home to my wife and my daughter, I promised the Lord I would be a good guy. Angst, who was now a German resident through his wife, is considered a community icon there in Germany for his work in the volunteerism, helping veterans and also helping others in the community. He was honored again for the Good Neighbor Award for his ongoing support of the U.S. Army and also helping different veterans get through different levels, whether it's physical or mental, like overcoming and working with post-traumatic stress. He is the first American to receive the award, which is often given to local mayors and clergy, but indeed well-deserved. And of course, to all of our great Vietnam veterans, we love you and we appreciate you here on the Rita Cosby Show. Welcome home and thank you for your incredible service to our great country. And everybody, support America's military and also our first responder heroes. And the best way to do it is donate to this great organization. I talk about them all the time because I love the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. All you have to do is donate $11 a month to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Simply go to t2t.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
You're listening to The Rita Cosby Show. It's The Rita Cosby Show.
They are clearing out protesters at the University of Southern California in Los Angeles. They're protesting there because they love Hamas there, too, just like they do on the campus of Columbia and NYU. And I'm glad that police are finally cracking down. I think it's still too little too late. I don't blame the police because they can't come in until the university says it's OK to come in. But these people, we were talking, one of you called in about what happened to Mayor Eric Adams. There he is on a flight, and somebody comes over and starts harassing him and screaming at him. Completely inappropriate. These people have no boundaries and no respect, and that's why we should have clamped down early, because it's a lot harder to clamp down on them now. And they're seeing that they're making the headlines, and a lot of schools don't want to bring in the police quite yet. They don't want to bring in the National Guard quite yet. But it very well may be time. And I think we need to start listing these people for future employment and also for future arrests. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Norm. Norm, your thoughts about all this.
Yeah. Hi, Rita. Where does Joe Biden get off insulting Donald Trump's hair? His entire scalp is a hair transplant, and he looks and walks like a scarecrow. And who the hell are those fools screaming for four more years? For what?
Yeah, exactly. No, four more years. Pause. You forgot, Norm. The
four
pause.
More years. Pause. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. It's a crowd that freaks me out more than the fool, you know, than our fool president. But
yeah, that's, you know what? You're right, Norm. It's like, who were these people that suddenly think it's okay? You know, like, who wants four? Do you want four more years? Let's see, Norm. Open borders. Let's do four more years of protesters shouting they love Hamas. And that the NYPD is KKK or the LA police is KKK. Four more years of trying to lock up their opponent. Four more years of fentanyl. You're right. Who the heck wants four more years of this? Yikes.